Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm glad you separate out state races from federal races. It's true, I've won every state race, but I did lose a little old election in 1982 for the U.S. Senate. But I don't count federal races. Actually, in 76, I beat Jimmy Carter in California in the Democratic primary. And I actually have won 5 presidential races twice, once in 76 and one in 92. So I've got 10. Another 15, and I'll have a majority of the country. But time is kind of running out on that one, so I guess I'll just have to stay and do the work of being a governor, which I actually enjoy, because I have some perspective that I didn't used to have. I'm glad it was mentioned that in 1969, I was elected to the Community College Board in Los Angeles as a trustee. 1969 was the year that Ronald Reagan signed the California Environmental Quality Act into law. He didn't ask my advice. But I mention it just to show how time quickly is passing, but also laws that are passed are not always very obvious as to what their longer-term implications are. And as a law gets enacted, it slowly evolves and changes and expands and has all sorts of regulations and cases, and that's an example. So a lot of times when we're doing things, it isn't exactly clear what it is we're doing. And that's a very important point, because I've been around longer than most of you people, so I know all the things that we didn't know what we were doing when we did them. So I can reflect on that and kind of have some doubts about whatever it is I'm doing now. Remember, there was that deregulation thing that cost the state tens of billions of dollars. It sounded good. Had a lot of theory behind it. But life doesn't always respond to theory. Also, there's this thing about the California business climate. You know, this business climate has been bad for a long time. When I was governor, before I was governor, they took a survey. I think it was the Dow Jones Company had it was called a Fannis Report. And they concluded California had the worst business climate of all the continental United States, all 48 states were worst. At that time, the income, the collective income, which is the equivalent of almost like the GDP, was about $350 billion. Now it's almost $2 trillion. So just think if we had a good business climate, how rich we'd be. And I remember a lot of times I'd come to these meetings, it was pretty hostile. They were always thinking how bad it was going to get, but, you know, it's bad, but it also gets good. And that's part of being a Californian. You have to have the entrepreneurial spirit, the creativity, and what needs to be done or how we're going to do it is often not clear at all. I asked Irwin Jacobs, the founder of Qualcomm, fabulous company. I said, when did you get that idea? Well, it was founded in the mid-'80s. About what you're doing now. He said, I didn't get that idea until a few years ago. He didn't even think about it, didn't know what it was. And that's probably true of Steve Jobs before he founded Apple, or Dave Packard before he founded Hewlett-Packard. So they always say leadership, but I heard it once. I kind of like the idea of it, that a manager kind of manages things. And that's good. We need managers. I need managers. My wife manages me. That's why I'm doing so good now. She was in business. She didn't get distracted by theory and all these other things that I've spent most of my time on. Anyway, they said, but I like this idea that leadership is putting the ball where it isn't. So we all actually have to solve problems, and we have no idea where it is. And that's why the new, as another professor of mine said, the new only comes out of the random. I'm not going to explain that. That's a Jerry Brownism. You can just take it home with you. The new comes out of the random. That means is when you're tightly organized, there's not a lot of possibilities. Now, I'll even quote, since I'm feeling good this morning, I'm going to quote an old Zen master. The Zen master said, actually the founder of the San Francisco Zen Center, he said, Suzuki Roshi was his name, he said, that, how does this, in the expert, let's see, there, in an expert's mind, no, in a beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In an expert's mind, very few. So we need beginner's mind, because we also need a few experts around to make it all run. But in order to envision the possibilities, you have to be able to open yourself to possibilities that you can't even imagine. Of course, you need training, you need resources, you need a team, and you need a great environment. And that's what we have in California. And the great people, they've made this state. There's been one generation after another, starting with the gold rush. By the way, that gold rush was the best stimulus program ever invented. 300,000 people came from every country in the world, just got a shovel and a pick and just started digging. And they got billions into the economy. The Federal Reserve didn't even exist. The federal government wasn't even heard from. It was, you know, far away. I don't even think they had the telegraph then. They just came, they dug, and they got gold. They spent it, and more people came. And they haven't stopped. And every generation, this is where we are. So, you know, we get our problems. We had this deficit hanging around for about 10 years. And lo and behold, our credit rating was the dead last. We're 50th. It's hard for me to believe the state this rich was rated by S&P and Moody's as the 50th worst state. Well, after a lot of hard work, we got an upgrade. We are 49th. And we're on our way. We're moving up. We'll be 48th before you know it, and pretty soon we'll be back in contention. So long as I'm governor. Because if I'm not around, Katie bar the door. So we're getting our upgrades. Structural deficit was $20 billion. Last time I talked to you, we had it down to $8 billion. Everybody was saying, $8 billion. Well, you know, he failed. He said he had insider knowledge. Well, it took me a little while, but it is balanced. We have a balanced budget for the first time in 10 years, and it's solid if we keep it that way. Now, when I say a balanced budget, I got to understand, I know you business people know what a balanced, you know about budgets. That's you other folks who don't know anything about budgets, and there are a lot of them around. When you say that you have a budget, and we're getting ready for a budget that hopefully I'll sign sometime in June, the new year starts in July 1, and we predict a certain amount of money. Let's say $97 billion going to come in on the general fund. That doesn't mean the money's here. The money has to get here. Okay, so we have to tell our projections. And then we say we'll spend this much, and we have this much revenue we expect to come in. So there's always some uncertainty. So when I say the budget's balanced, it's balanced if everything works out in according to what we're saying and what we expect. Now we had a little kerfuffle here about the legislative analyst said, oh, there's another $3 billion that we expect. And by the way, that was so significant that our largest circulating newspaper put it at above the fold on the right-hand side, which means it's the most important story of the day. What that $3 billion is, because we're talking about now 3 years, when we deal with our budget, it takes a long time for finally to close the books, and you count 11, 12, 12, 13, and 13, 14. That's what we're talking about. So there's a $3 billion difference over a three-year period. In 3 years, the state of California expects in the general fund to have something slightly under $300 billion. So if you have a $3 billion difference between what my Department of Finance is projecting and what the legislative analyst is predicting, you're talking about a little more than 1%. So then I asked the finance department to come back and tell me, when you predict in May what the budget's going to be for the following budget year, how close are you to the estimate you made? And it turns out that sometimes we've been off by 10%. Mostly it's 2, 3, 4, 5%. So we don't know that much. And that's why if the analyst says it's 98.5, we say it's 97, okay, that's one thing we know about economists. They can't predict the future. But somehow we have to plug in a number. But that's not money you can spend. a little extra billion here. By the way, most of that is capital gains. And for all I know, it's going to be bigger because that stock market is looking pretty good. I don't know if you looked this morning, it's up. It's up today. It may be up for 6 months, but at some point it's coming down. If we operate like, you know, this is a straight line, it's always there because we said it was there, that's when we get into trouble. And that's what happened before. You spend money that you think is going to be there year after year, and it isn't. So that's why you need a reserve. That's why you need to pay down debts. We have a little thing called the wall of debt, and we're paying that thing down because that's how we handled it for 10 years. We borrowed from the counties, borrowed from the school districts, borrowed from the recycling fund, borrowed from anybody, and borrowed from California. It's called a recovery bond. Recovery bond is just borrowing money. So we've been paying $1.5 billion every year, and pretty soon that thing's going to be paid off. So that's good. But we got the thing in balance if we stay the course, and that's my intention. To take the tax, I know some of you people, because you are Republicans, you don't like taxes. I understand that. But the fact is, it passed by 55%, and when the surveys are taken of the people, most of them feel better. Not everybody. I mean, I think we went from 20% favorable up to 43% favorable. So that means, you know, almost 6 out of every 10 is not that happy. But it's a lot better that 4 out of 10 are happy than 2 out of 10 are happy. I got to take gains wherever I find them. And I like the trajectory. It's up. And we got lots more jobs, 500,000 more just since I've been governor. Now, that's not what it used to be. 1 year when I was governor in the 70s, we created 500,000 jobs. California did in 1 year. But we're moving forward. We're moving ahead at a faster pace than the national average, and that's good. So we're going to keep that deficit in check. That means, you know, we can't be spending money we don't have. And most of that money is absorbed by the schools. And what isn't absorbed by the schools over the next few years will be absorbed by Affordable Care Act. And the Affordable Care Act has known unknowns. It has a lot of unknown unknowns, too. I don't know. I can't tell you what they are, but I'd like to reserve as much money so I can be able to meet them when they show up. So we got our deficit down. By the way, some people say, well, there's a deficit. You know, there's all these liabilities. Yeah, there's liabilities. There's pension liabilities. There's retiree health liabilities. There's a liability in our employment fund. Those are all there. But they were there before. So your operating budget is the one we're talking about. In terms of pensions, we got the biggest pension reform ever. Huge pension reform. Now, is that as far as we need to go? No. But remember, I got to get the votes. You can only have so many initiatives. I mean, Arnold tried 4. He lost all 4 of them. You have to be strategic. You have to focus. And then you get it done. So we got a pension reform. It's going to save us billions, and then as we go forward, well, there's other things we got to do. Teacher's retirement fund needs several $1 billion a year. Not so easy, but I got to handle one thing at a time. You can't get it done. And if I got it done all in 1 year, you wouldn't need me. So I like to be needed, and I got a pretty surefire formula how you're going to need me. You will. Just walk across the street. Okay, so what do we got? We're doing something about prisons. Everything I said I was going to do, I'm actually doing. Now, that doesn't mean that nirvana has arrived, but we're making progress. We got 45,000 fewer people in prison. 15,000 were reduced under Arnold, and the other 25,000 or so under me. Now, it's realignment. It's challenging. We got a lot of work to do, but we're meeting the court order. We're doing it in an intelligent way. We're stressing rehabilitation. We're trying to save some money. And we're in midstream. But we're grappling with it. We're also introducing more education, more drug treatment, more mentally ill. 25% of the people in prison have mental health problems. So that's a whole other issue. In terms of energy, we're leading not only the country, we're leading the whole Western Hemisphere on renewable energy and energy efficiency. So that's a program that's going forward. We finally got a China office. By the way, this is a typical example of how things work. First, we had a China office. Then it was closed. Then we got another China office. Then it was closed. Then we got another one. But the difference this time, we're not paying for it. So we know we're not going to close it. That's real genius, you see. If government can do something that doesn't depend on the politicians, you know we're going to get it done because they can't stop us. So that one's a good one. We went to China. China's really pretty impressive. 5,000 miles of high-speed rail. They got cranes everywhere you look. Get on that high-speed train. I look to the right. Looks like downtown Los Angeles. I look to the left. Looks like downtown Los Angeles. Got another 5 minutes. Got a new city. Quite incredible. Now, maybe they've got a bubble. They say they got local government debts in the trillions. Fine. But they got some willpower. They got a thrust there that, in some respects, although not all, we need to emulate. All right, so what else we got? I want to talk about the schools. Now, the thing about schools, everybody thinks they know about schools because they went to school. And that probably makes some sense. One thing, and I like new stuff. I do like new stuff. But I'm wary of stuff that just started or when people claim, like, we have a new way of teaching reading. I think they would say, wait a minute. People have been reading for thousands of years. I mean, somebody just discovered something about how to read? I want to think about that one. So every 10 years, we get a new reading reform, or we get a new school reform. You have to be a little skeptical about that. One thing we do know, though, is kids that come from lower-income backgrounds or whose families don't speak English have greater challenges. And in fact, if you look at, let's see, you count it up, we got six, just put it in context, we had 6 million kids in school, kindergarten through 12, we got over 300,000 teachers. Now, of the 6 million, 3 million are eligible for subsidized federal lunches, and so they're pretty low down on the poverty scale. Of the 2 million kids, some of the same ones, don't even speak English at home. So that's a challenge. And if you look at the scores, you'll see in the higher income areas, kids do a lot better. So I said, now that we got Proposition 30 passed and the economy coming back, let's channel not all the money, but give everybody 80%, everybody gets a base grant, and it will grow. And then for the next portion, about 16%, let's send that based on how many kids are either below the poverty line, family can't speak English, or in foster care. If that's true, then by a formula, they get it. We divvy up 16% of that money. And then we take the final 4%, and we say, if you have a district that's over 50% of low-income or foreign language-speaking kids, then we'll give you some more. Not, we scale it up. So if you have 51%, you get a little more. If you have 55 or 60% of low-income kids, you get more. That's the idea. It's a formula different from what we have today. Today we have categorical programs. We got about 60 of them. These categorical programs are funding streams that are defined by various rules, languages, and performance metrics. And in order to get them, you have to apply, you have to meet certain requirements, and then the state goes around and checks you to see if you really met them, and there's always auditing errors, there's always, it's amazing how much bureaucracy administration goes into that. So what we want to do is sweep away those 60 different programs. By the way, there are a number of private businesses that go around to school districts to teach them how to game the system or how to qualify. So it becomes a whole industry in itself, and it's not very productive, and it's not directed to kids in the classroom. So we say strip that all away, or as much of it as we politically can, and then replace it with a formula based on what we know are factors that affect education. And the other idea of this is we want to give the local school boards more discretion. And this is what I said when I ran for governor. I said, let's get government closer to the people. That doesn't mean that every school is going to do what you want, but they do have a government. It is elected by people. And the thing about government is you don't always get it done at every election. But our faith in democracy is that the people, over time, will get it right. And that's my idea of the school district, because when I look at a problem, I like to see, you know, who's handling it. So if you take a school, you have a classroom. You got a teacher, got 25, 30 kids. Then you have a principal, and then you have maybe an academic leader within the district. Then you have the superintendent. Then you have the local school board. And then you come up to state, and then you have the superintendent here, and he's got a whole group of people. They have a big building that used to be on the parking lot next to my apartment where I lived here 30 years ago. It's a beautiful, magnificent building. So we got a lot, but not that many, 600, 800, whatever it is. And then you have the State Board of Education. They have, I don't know, 10 people. 10 staff people and, I don't know, 10 or 11 people on the board. And then we have a Department of Education. And then we have the Congress. Then we have the legislature. And everybody wants to get into the act. Everybody wants to play around with the curriculum. Everybody wants to set rules. Like we had a law that I got last year that wanted to eliminate willful defiance as a ground for suspension. Well, I vetoed that bill. I vetoed it because I used to be willfully defiant myself. And when I was kicked out of school, it got my attention. Luckily, my father was attorney general, so I got back in the next day. But it left an impression on me. Willful defiance is something serious. As a matter of fact, the federal court said, with regard to my prison policy, that I'm being contumacious. So I looked up on Google, what the hell is contumacious? It means being willfully defiant. That's what it is. So, by the way, I once taught at school. I taught a little catechism class when I was in the seminary. One day, it's pandemonium. Boy, these teachers have a heck of a job. So if you can kick out a few of the ones who are causing you trouble, it probably helps you. But maybe not, because a lot of people think that's bad. So recently, the LA school district eliminated willful defiance. Well, that's their thing, and they'll handle it. And it was a 5-2 vote, but it was the democratic process working in a locality as opposed to up here passing a one-size-fits-all law to cover all 6 million kids and all 300,000 teachers. So we got to handle the deficit. We're working with a good school formula. I think we're going to get it passed. We have a new curriculum, because they always have a new curriculum. And I'm skeptical as hell about a new curriculum. I went to St. Ignatius. Took 4 years of Latin. They told me you couldn't think if you didn't have 4 years of Latin. Now I can't find anybody that takes Latin. So, by the way, I don't find that many people that think either. So maybe those priests were right. Anyway, I like it. I mean, that's obscure, and it makes you smarter than everybody. Anyway, so we're going to get this Common Core curriculum. And that's a thing that's being worked up by 25 other states. It's going to make it tougher. It's going to make the kids have to think more writing. It's going to be tough. It's going to take a few years to really bring it all about. But it's going to, I think it will make our schools more challenging, more interesting, and get more critical thinking. Now, I want to say something about water. Water is an interesting issue here. You Republican farmer water users. I mean, you got to think something strange when the only people who push water projects are Democrats. And their name is usually Brown. Well, actually, Earl Warren and Goodwin Knight, they were preparing water plan. In fact, there was a biography of my father. I didn't know this. I read it, and it said, Goodwin Knight, the Republican governor that took over from Warren and preceded my father, he had a water plan. But I think my father got the Democrats to block it so he could take credit. And the writer said, this wasn't very honorable. I thought to myself, what a very naive writer. He hasn't been around Sacramento very long. But nevertheless, it still took a lot of work to get that water project done. The bond passed by less than 1%. It was hotly contested, and so it was hard. In fact, and then when I became, I think Reagan was going to build a dam, and then he decided not to. Then I got in there, and I started to build this peripheral canal. We got it all through the legislature. I was feeling pretty proud. And then they had a referendum, and it was defeated. And once it's defeated, then that kind of scared Dick Major and Wilson. They never brought up the topic. And it was Arnold who got reengaged, and he started this process, Delta Stewardship Council and all these other things, and we're working on it. And it's a complicated project, and it's hard in the political process to deal with things that have a lot of elements, and they take a long time and require a fair amount of money. But there are four elements. I just want to mention them to you. We want to make sure that water supply is reliable. Lots of people depend on the Delta. 50% of Silicon Valley gets their fresh water through the Delta. Those levees should never fail in an earthquake or because the oceans are rising because of climate change and because the snow melts too fast and things rush through the delta. Cut off 50% of the water. East Side farmers, West Side farmers, L.A., huge. We're talking $100 billion in immediate devastation. This is, we got to have, it's insurance. We got to invest in it. That's reliability. Then we're going to need some storage because this water is going to start flowing faster. You know, if we don't get that water when it's there, we're going to lose it. Then we're going to have delta restoration. You know, if they did it when I did it, we didn't know there was such a thing as a smelt. I never heard of a smelt. Now the smelt has probably got a more powerful lobbyist than most of the people in this room. Smelt has got its own biological opinion. It tells you how much water goes and how much water. Then you got the salmon. They got their own. They got another biological opinion. It's separate. They're kind of different things. Then there's like 50 other species you got to take into account. They just passed it when I did it. No one even knew about all this stuff. Life was simpler, but there it is. So we got to have reliability, storage, delta restoration, and we got to have some conservation because we got to be more efficient. Just can't use water in a wasteful way, and I think we're developing that. So we got a project. It's not going to get done this year, but we're making progress. It takes time, you know. So, but I got time. I'm not going anywhere. So we're going to get it done. So there we go. We took care of the deficit. We got a great plan on schools. We're dealing with our prisons. We got a water plan, energy. We got some pensions. Got to keep working at that. So, oh, regulatory reform. That's hard. People think regulatory reform is just clean up the regulations. You got to understand. There's a regulation. It came from a law. There's a law. That means it passed both houses of the legislature and the governor signed it. What does that mean? That means that that law had a lot of powerful sponsors. So if you want to change that regulation and change that law, you need to have more power than it took to get it in the first place. So it's a contest of power. It's not about a green eye shade, you know, clean up the regulations. You can have the idea, but actually then to get it through the legislature, it takes a lot of effort. Now, we have got some things done. We got the reform to curb these Americans with disability lawsuits. That was a real shakedown operation, and we got not a complete reform, but we've shut them down to some degree. So that was good. We got one of those. We got some timber regulations. It took some Republicans to get that, and that was good. We got workers' comp, bipartisan, probably the most significant bipartisan bill, one of the few. It was very good. We saved a lot of money, saved employers money, and we got actually more benefits. Now we got a new plan. I'm proposing to reform aspects of Proposition 65. That's another opportunity for you to get sued, and we need to put some curbs on that. And then, of course, we've got CEQA reform. I think it's a heavy lift. A Senate pro tem leader is pushing it. I'm going to be working as hard as I can with him. Now, let me just finish here. That we got a lot of issues. You know, inequality is growing. We got unemployment. We got a banking system. It's very hard to understand whether it's too big to fail or whether the regulation is right or not. But we do have a big issue. And tomorrow I'm going to be down at Moffett Field with some scientists from NASA, and they're going to release a consensus document. This is the cover sheet. It's called Maintaining Humanity's Life Support System in the 21st Century. This is signed by hundreds and ultimately thousands of scientists. But I just want to read a couple of lines. Earth is rapidly approaching a tipping point. Human impacts are causing alarming levels of harm to our planet. We agree, based on the best scientific information available, the human quality of life will suffer substantial degradation by the year 2050 if we continue on our current path. Now, these are scientists. I know when you talk about that, it sounds like new rules and new costs. Maybe. But our best scientists are telling us, watch out. Now, unless they get some miracle drug, I don't expect to be here in 2050. Kind of a stretch, since I was born in 1938. And a lot of you guys, I see some of you, you're not going to be here either. So you don't have anything to worry about. Relax. But, you know, you got kids. Maybe you got a young wife. you know, worry about it. So I'm not telling you to do anything. Just think about it. Don't think you have it handled yet. there's some challenges, and California is doing more than anyone else in the Western Hemisphere. So we're the lead, but we can't be the lead and get so far out in front that our cost structure is different. So we got to bring everybody with us, and that's my goal. So look, we've solved a lot of problems. We got a lot of problems. We're living in a great state. Republican, Democrat, we're all Californians. Remember that bear on the flag? It's a grizzly bear, extinct, unfortunately. But ferocious, courageous, determined. Go Bears!